All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Nun Zayin 57. We are picking up on Nun Vav Amud Beis 56b, and we left off Hahura Ma'a. Two lines are from the bottom. So the Gemara says as follows. Hahura Ma'a. So we'll say there was this Roma, literally means a Roman. So the Hagos Vitzivin and changes it to Arama, Aramian. Okay, doesn't make a difference. Meaning there was a person, a Gentile. Techazi Elahu Gavra. So we'll say he saw, this is actually an incredible case. He saw a man fall off the roof of his home. So the man had a traumatic fall from the roof of his home. So we'll say what happens? As a result of the fall, his stomach split open and his intestines spilled out. Now we'll say, now the reason we're getting into this story is because yesterday we spoke about the intestines, and specifically what we spoke about is the danger. Remember again, we saw by the bird that if the intestines come out, that does not automatically render it a trefa. What the concern is when they come out, if you try to put them back in, what'll happen? They'll get twisted. And the moment that the intestines get twisted, bad. That makes it a trefa. That we saw the agarat hu ascha vayechoneneka. Kadosh Baruch Hu made us right with bases, with coils. So this man, this Aramean, sees this other guy fall off his roof and his stomach splits open, his intestines fall out. So now we'll say, now what this Aramean is afraid of is if he tries to put the intestines back into this person's stomach, they're going to end up getting twisted and Chas Shalom can kill the guy. So he does something very interesting. Asu libre v'shachte kamei, tap of nun zayin v'achizas einayim. So the Aramean brought the son of the guy who fell off the roof and he killed him. I will say, I didn't literally kill him, but he made it look like he killed him. In other words, I will say, what's happening over here? The Aramean wants to startle the guy who fell off the roof. We're going to see why in just a moment. So how does he startle him? By creating an image that he's killing his child, right? That the Aramean is killing the child of the guy who fell off the roof. What happened? Ingid, the victim, we'll call it, the guy who fell off the roof, felt faint. V'insach, he groaned. All lema'ayone. And he literally withdrew his intestines back into his body. So something must have happened, either as a result of the gasp or a result of the fright. But ultimately, again, the intestines were drawn back into his body naturally, quote unquote. Because it was natural, therefore there was no concern ultimately with some type of knotting. And therefore, again, as a result, the chayte the krese. And after that, the Aramean stitched up the victim and Baruch Hashem, all was good. Okay, nishtabru raglav. So remember, I'm going to say next case. The Mishnah was that if the legs of the bird, the raglayim, are broken, that does not make the animal a trefa. Says the Gemara, ha'ud sana de inkuri de asya le kamei de rava. So we'll say, so there was this basket of birds, with Rashi says, ankuri ofos shenishtabru raglayim bar kuva lamata. So it says, you're going to see, there was this basket of birds with broken legs, which were brought before Rava. Okay? Bat ke Rava betzomas hagidin. So I say, Rava checked them specifically again by the area that we call betzomas hagidin. Tzomas hagidin, I will say, there are 16 sinews in the foot of the bird, and they all go ahead and gather at the end of the tibia. So therefore, again, he was checking this particular area. They call it Somes Hagidin. The Akshere, and ultimately, again, Rava declared the birds kosher. Amrav Yehuda, Amrav. Shemuta Asyad Bevehim Ekshera. So Rav Yehuda said the name of Rav, that ultimately, again, Shemuta Asyad also means a dislocated foreleg. So if the foreleg of the animal is dislocated, it's Lukshera. Shemuta Asyarech Bevehim Etrefa. If the thigh bone in the animal is dislocated, that makes the animal a trefa. Shmutas yarech ba'ov, right, trefa. If you have a dislocated yarech in the oaf, right, the dislocated thigh bone in the bird, ultimately it's going to be a trefa. Shmutas gaf ba'ov, trefa. It's actually very interesting, similarly, if you have a dislocated wing, right, a dislocated wing in a bird, that also makes it a trefa. Then we'll say, now why would a dislocated wing make the animal a trefa? Chayshinun shema nikva harea. This is actually quite interesting. We're concerned that when there is a dislocated wing, that halacha lemaisa, that wing may end up perforating the lung. That's the concern here. So dislocated wing may end up perforating the lung. Shmuel Amr Shmuel says, tibadek. Shmuel says, no, if even if you have a dislocated wing, I understand that there's a chashash about the lungs. But remember again, Rabbi say, there's no need to just declare the animal a treifa, because after you shech the bird, open it up, check the lungs. If the lung was perforated by the dislocated wing, then fine, the animal could be a treifa. But if not, the animal will be perfectly fine. V'chein amar Rabbi Yochanan tibadik. Similarly, again, Rabbi Yochanan said, halacha lemaisa, check it. Right, check the bird. I understand there's a concern when there is a dislocated wing, but there is no need to automatically declare the animal a treifa. Chizkia amar Chizkia said, ein rea liof. Now, both said we're going to discuss what this statement means because it's a bit enigmatic. But Chizkia says, sounds like what he's saying is, a bird doesn't have lungs. A bird doesn't have lungs. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan amar yeshlo. Rabbi Yochanan says, a bird has lungs. Right? So the Gemara says, v'yeshna ka'ala shel vered ben agafayim. And the lungs of a bird literally look like other shel vered, which means a rose petal, bein agafayim, in between the wings. To which the Gemara says, okay, Chizkia, what did you mean when you said, my ein rea liof? What does that mean when you said that the bird doesn't have lungs? Ilemo de les leklal. If you want to say that literally, you're saying a bird doesn't have lungs, that's impossible. V'haka chazina de isle. We'll say that can't be true. Why? Because you see that a bird does have lungs. Ella de lo mitrif be. Rather, I will say what it means is that perhaps what Chizkia was saying is that unlike in a behema, where the puncturing of the lungs creates a treifa situation, by a bird, if the lung is punctured, that does not create a treifa situation. Rashi says, the lo mitrafa ba im nikva. So it says, it's actually quite interesting. So Chizkia seems to be of the opinion that although normally a perforated lung is a sim of treifus by a bird, that may not necessarily apply. To which the Gemara says, is that true? Vahatani, Levi, treifus shemanu chachamim bebehema, Kinegdon ba'of. So we'll say ultimately again, yet Levi said that what? The treifas that we mentioned in the case of behema, all of the treifas that have been mentioned by behema, kinegdon ba'of, all the same treifas that apply by a regular animal, apply by an oaf as well. Yeser alehen oaf, and I will say not only that, but oaf actually has additional cases of treifas. How so? Of nishbar ha'etzem afa pishlo nikav krum shamach. Was we discussed this yesterday? Because by a bird, halacha lemaisa, even if the skull was fractured, even if the brain membrane was not, the animal is still a treifa. So we'll say what this tells me is, remembering again, by an animal, puncturing of the skull is not enough to make it a treifa. It has to be a puncturing of the skull as well as a perforation of the brain membrane. So we'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here that a bird, when it comes to a bird has all the same treifas as a behema. By a behema, perforated lung is a treifa. So too, by a bird, perforated lung should be a treifa. Ella, ein lo, so therefore, what do you mean when it said that Chizkia said that a bird doesn't have a lung? Ella, ein lo, limpo volo lichamer. Rather, what Chizkia meant was as follows, that if you have a bird that ultimately, again, fell from a high place, right, and had impact with the ground, you need not be concerned that the lung was damaged. Similarly, if there was a bird that fell into fire for a little bit and then came out of it, you need not be concerned that the lungs were damaged. Look at Rashi. Lo linpol, im nafla min agag, damar nsicha bedika, intrach livdok bereya. Velo lichamer, benafla lo orsha, bot kiname ayim shemariko, intrach livdok areya. So we'll say, surprising what Chizki was saying is as follows, is that the lungs of the bird do not become as easily damaged, and therefore, even though in a regular case of a behema, if the animal falls down from the roof, right, or if the animal falls into the fire, you have to check the lungs when it comes to a bird. If the bird falls off of a heightened area, or the bird comes out of a fire, the halacha is you need not check the lungs. Okay, so the Gemara says, why not? My time, Amrav Chana, Hoil Verov Tzalosa Maginosa. So we'll say, interestingly enough, just because of the anatomy of a bird, so the lungs, really, excuse me, the ribs, perform, really create like a protective cage around the lungs. So because they do, ultimately, again, there's no concern that the lungs may have become punctured as a result of a fall or as a result of fire. Okay. V'hamidam Rabbi Yochanan Yeshlo V'yeshna Ke'ala Shaver Ben Agafayim. But I will say one second. Rabbi Yochanan, though, when he was arguing on Chizkiyah, said a bird does have lungs, and in fact, it looks like a rose petal in between the wings. So I will say the fact that Rabbi Yochanan said that, it makes it sound like what? Michlal de Chizkiyah Savar the Lesley. But I say it makes it sound like the Chizkiyah actually holds that the bird has no lungs. Ela Omri B'ma'arav Mishmed Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina Midvarav Shal Beribi Nikr She'en Obaki B'Tarnagolin. Otherwise, listen to this. Rather, they said in Eretz Yisrael, in the name of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, that it sounds like from the words of Beribi. We'll say Beribi means the words of the Great One. It sounds like from the words of Chizkiyah that he's not an expert when it comes to birds, right? He's not an expert when it comes to chickens. Right? And so what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that it could very well be that Chizkiyah meant it quite literally, that birds don't have lungs. And unfortunately, again, that just displayed, he was not familiar with the anatomy of chickens. He knew behemoths, I guess he was a meat eater, right? Not a chicken eater. And therefore, again, he just didn't understand the anatomy of chickens. So ultimately, again, what you see over here is two different understandings in Chizkiyah's statement. Either Chizkiyah was literally saying birds don't have lungs, and he was just going ahead, and he just was mistaken regarding the anatomy of the chicken. Or possibility number two is he was saying, no, the bird has lungs. That's not the issue over here. Of course the bird has lungs. What he was trying to make a distinction was between the lungs of a behemoth and the lungs of Ophos. By behemoth, ultimately, again, both in the case of Nefula, where it fell down from the roof to the ground, or it was scorched, you have to be concerned that the lungs were damaged. But by birds, because the rib cage really protects the lungs in a much more dramatic way, you don't have to be concerned for lung damage in the case of Nefula or in the case of fire. All right, two different understandings. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, Shmutas Yerech Ba'ov Kshera. What's Rav Huna's name of Rav? That if you have a dislocated thigh bone by an oaf, the animal is still kosher. It's not a treifa. Amar Li Rav, Barav Huna, Rav Huna, Baharav Anandas, Amipo Medisa, Amur Rav Yehuda Mishmei Dirav, Amur Shmutas Yerech Ba'ov Treifa. The Rebbe said, we know that the rabbis who came from Pompadisa said in the name of Rav Yehuda, who said in the name of Rav, that what? That in fact a dislocated thigh bone in a bird is a Treifa. So remember again, you understand, they're both quoting the name of Rav. Right? We have two different interpretations about what Rav said. In version number one, Rav is telling me that a dislocated thigh bone does not create a treifa. In version number two, a dislocated thigh bone does create a treifa. So which one is it? Amrale bari nara nara upashte. So I will say he responded to him that little this means is each river flows according to its direction. Which also is another way of saying there are differences of opinion. Right, there are differences of opinion. So apparently, again, some hold that the dislocated thigh bone is problematic. Others hold that the dislocated thigh bone is not problematic. Azul Rabbi Abba, Ashkechel Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba, Tikabotik Bitsomes Hagidin. So Rabbi Abba went, and he found that Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba, checking, I will say, what we call that Somes Hagidin. Right, that area where the sinews come together, like we said, right by the end of the drumstick, right by the end of the tibia. So he was checking to see if that area was intact or not. Amrale, lamale markuli hai. Said Rebbe, why are you checking so much? Va'arav huna amarav shmutas yarech ba'ov kshera. Yet we learn that what? That if you have a dislocated thigh bone by the bird, the animal is still kosher. Amrale, ana mas nisin yadana. All I know is the Mishnah. What does the Mishnah say? Behema shenechtechu raglaham min ha'arkuvo lamat kshira. If you have an animal and the leg was cut or the feet were cut from the joint and below, the animal is kosher. Min ha'arkuvo ulamalo, from the joint and above, ultimately the animal will be pasul. V'chein shenitel tzomes hagidin. And similarly again, if the tzomes hagidin, I will say, if that area where the sinews coalesce together, if that area is cut, ultimately as well, and Rav said, this is not just true by behemoths, but this is true by oaf. Suppose I see, you see that what? That in fact you do have to examine it. So I say, Gidin, if that's the case, ishtik dirav adirav. We'll say, excuse me, kasha dirav adirav. We'll say, if that's the case, then we have two contradictory rulings in the name of Rav. Ishtik, he was quiet. Amrle, Dilma Shanila Bein Shmuta Lechatucha. Said maybe, in fact, there's a difference, Rabbi Osei, between something that is dislocated and something that is cut. Rabbi Osei, take a look at Rashi. It's the first wide line in Rashi on the bottom. Amar Lei, Rabbi Abba, Tilma Mida Agmere Rav Rafuna, the Shmuta Kshera, the Hasim Amar Vechim Ba'of, Shanile Bein Shmuta Lechatucha. Rabbi Osei, maybe there is a difference between something that is dislocated and something that is cut. Ubishmuta kshera, if something is dislocated, the animal will still be kosher. Vafilo nitla kula, even if it's totally removed. Ubechatucha trefa, it was if something is cut, ultimately it becomes a trefa. Afilo tzomes hagidin levadon, even if ultimately again it is only the tzomes hagidin. So the Amar Lei vaat mifarashta shmeisa seidra beferush, right? Beferush Amarav. So he said to him, you're interpreting this like some type of novel interpretation, but in fact, this was the first explanation of Rav. What did Rav say? So the Gemara says, Amarav, Shmuta Kshera, Chatucha Psula. Rav said that ultimately, again, if you have the thigh bone dislocated, ultimately, again, it will be kosher. But Chatucha, the Tzomes Hagidin is cut, the animal will be pasul. Va'al Titma. And do not wonder about this psak. Shai chotcha mikan umesa. Chotcha mikan v'chaisa. Because also he said there's a distinction. Sometimes you could cut an animal in a certain place and it'll live. Other times you cut in a different place and it'll die. Ki stalik Rabbi Abba ashkechel Rabbi Zera. Di yasev v'kamer. So also when Rabbi Abba went, he found Rabbi Zera who was sitting and saying as follows. Om Rav Huna Marav. Shmuta asyerach ba'of trefa. If you have a dislocated thigh bone in an animal, the animal is a trefa. Om Ralei chayi demar. By the life of Rebbe, miyoma desalik mar lahacha, from the day that Rebbe came here, Amud Beis Rabbi Osei, Amud Beis, havilan pischon peh kamei d'rafuna. Rashi says, havilei pischon peh kamei d'rafuna, kilomar huskaknu ledaber b'shmuta serach lefnei rafuna. We're discussing the case of the dislocated thigh bone in front of Rafuna, va'amrlan kshera, and Rafuna has always told us that it's kasher. But say what happens. V'shalinu v'amrlan shmutas yerach bov kshera. V'ashkechase namin Rav Yirmiyah. And we found Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba. But say, Nozayin Amud Beis, 57b, three lines down. V'yosef v'kabadek b'tzomas agidin. And he was always checking the area of the tzomas agidin. V'akshile, and we always asked him. Lo sarah lamar, hadam rav huna amarav shmutas yerach bov kshera. Do you not hold that psak halacha? That ultimately, again, a dislocated thigh bone will still be kosher. And he would always respond, Amar Lei, Ana Masnisin Yadana. All I know is what the Mishnah says. What does the Mishnah say? Behema She'enechtechu Ragleha. It will say, if you have an animal whose feet were cut, Min Ha'arkuva Ulamata, if it's from the joint and below, Kshera, ultimately the animal will be kosher. Min Ha'arkuva Ulamala, from the joint and above, ultimately Psula, the animal will be pasul. Bechein shemnital tzomes hagidin. So too again, what if ultimately the tzomes hagidin? Right, the Rosh says so that's the area where the sinews coalesce. If that's cut, then also ultimately the animal will be possible. V'amar Rav Allah. And Rav said regarding this, bechein ba'of the same halacha. Rav Osei applies to birds. V'amrin we said to him ich kachi kashe derav adrav. If that's the case, then Rav is we have a contradiction on Rav. Ishtik. Ultimately, he was silent. V'akshile, and we said to him, V'dilma, shanile l'rav bein shmut o lechatucha. Maybe Rav makes a distinction between that which is dislocated and that which is cut. V'amar li, and he said to me, V'at mifaresh shmeisei d'rav. Do you think that you're introducing some novel new interpretation of Rav? B'feirish am Rav. Rav said this explicitly. Shmuta kshera, chatucha psula. If, ultimately, again, it is dislocated, it is kosher. But if it's cut, it is pasul. Va'at ma biyadcha, hachi amarav chiyabar hashi amarav, shmutas yerech ba'of trefa. So we'll say again, all different opinions here, all on the same topic. So here we have another statement in the name of Rav, that if the thigh bone is dislocated, ultimately the animal will be a trefa. V'chein amarav Yaakov bar Idi amarav Yochanan, shmutas yerech ba'of trefa. If the thigh bone is dislocated, the animal, the oaf will be a trefa. From Rav Yaakov bar Idi, Ilmali Hava Rabbi Yochanan, Ba'asra, Da'oru Ba'chabusa La'atera. And we said, if had Rabbi Yochanan been in a place where his rabbinic colleagues would have been matir, Lo Parchis. We'll say lo parches means literally he wouldn't even tremble. Look at Rashi. Lo parches, it's the last wide line on top of Rashi. Lo parches, lo haya yachol lonud knaf ulekanter. He would not, right? He wouldn't even, literally he wouldn't, literally means he wouldn't flap a wing, right? He wouldn't be able to contradict. Vafilu remez davar mitok shegidolim hein, v'yesh la lira mehem im haya etzlam. So I'll say, if Rabbi Yochanan ultimately again were in a place where his chavrusas, right, his fellow rabbinic colleagues who were greater than him, would have passed in the Teira, he wouldn't say a thing. Why not? To Amrav Chanina, Amrav, Shmutas Yerech Ba'of Ksheira. Ultimately, again, the dislocated thigh bone of the oaf is going to be kosher. Fine. V'tana Golas, Ha'isalol Rabbi Chanina. And I'll say, one time, Rabbi Chanina had a chicken. What happened with the chicken? Shenishmeta Yerech Shala. The thigh bone became dislocated. Ve'via lifnei Rebbe. They brought it before Rebbe. Ve'etira. And Rebbe said it's mutter. Rebbe said the dislocated thigh bone does not make the bird a treva. Umolcha Rebbe Chanina. Rabbi Chanina salted it. Ve'hava mori behalacha letamidim. So I'll say, Rabbi Chanina salted it. Why? To preserve it. What Rabbi Yochanan was doing was he wanted to preserve this chicken so that he could use it ultimately as a teaching tool. So he preserved it, and what did he say? And he would use it ultimately again as a model to teach the Talmidim. Zeh hitter li Rebbe, zeh hitter li Rebbe. Right? Rebbe permitted this type of chicken to me. Rebbe permitted this type of chicken to me. So I said ultimately again he used it to show that Rebbe was matir. Ultimately, again, a chicken with a dislocated thigh bone. So the Gemara says, and what's the halacha? V'les hilchasa kecho hanishmaisisa. The halacha does not follow everything we've said until now. Ella ki ha d'sha'al Rabbi Yossi ben Horoi es Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rather, both say, listen to the following case. Rabbi Yossi ben Horoi came and he asked Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Kederas Kana Bekama. Well, this is actually an interesting case. Look at Rashi. Kederas Kana, Rashi says, Kederas Kana, he says, Kana Sheniktar Mimena Chatichas Kemin Aruba. Well, it's like Kana is the trachea. If you have a trachea that is missing a piece of it, how much of the trachea can be missing and the animal still be kosher? Right? So the Gemara says, Amar Lo, Mishnah Shleima Shaneinu. He says, well, that's an easy one. It's a Mefurisha Mishnah. What does the Mishnah say? Ad ki iser ha'italki. We'll say the size of an Italian iser. So an iser is a coin. So if the trachea is missing less than the size of an iser, of this type of coin, the ultimately the animal will be kosher. Missing more than that type of coin, ultimately again the animal will be a trefa. Amar lo. So we'll say set. Now you're going to see, we're not switching gears. You're going to see why they're bringing in this story in just a moment. Amar lo. So he said, really, is that true? V'halo, Rachel Achas. We'll say first wide line on Zayin of the Days. V'halo, Rachel Achas, Haisa Bishchunaso. There was a certain sheep that was in our neighborhood. Shenikdar Kana Shala. And its trachea became perforated. V'asula Krumen Shalkana. Now, we'll say, now the assumption over here is, going back for just a moment, if the opening of the trachea is more than the size of an Isser, then what? The animal is a trefa. Why is the animal a trefa? Why? Because ultimately the animal will die from that injury. That's the assumption. Now the Gemara says, is that true? Because one time there was a sheep in our neighborhood. The sheep ultimately again had a perforated trachea, and it was a large perforation. Va'asula kromin shalkana. And we made it ultimately what? We made it a patch made out of reeds. We made it a bandage. And we bandaged up the hole in the trachea, the chaisa, and the animal lived. The animal lived. So we'll say, so what do you see from here? You see from here that even if the animal has a hole in the trachea larger than the size of an iser, it doesn't make it a trefa. Okay, left untreated, it'll die. But that is a treatable condition. Amar lo, va'alda atzamech, are you relying on that story for you to teach you that it's not a trefa? V'halo halacha revachas b'Yisrael, but yet there's an explicit halacha in Klal Yisrael, which is shmutas yerech ba'of treifa. We'll say we know that halacha l'maisa, if you have a dislocated thigh bone in an oaf, the animal is a treifa. Yet, V'tarnagolas haisalo l'Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta. Yet one time there was that episode of a tarnagolas, right? Of a chicken that belonged to Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta. Shenishmata yerach shalo. Its thigh bone became dislocated. V'asulash v'feres shalkana. And the boss say, what did they do? They made it literally again a tube made out of resource. What it sounds like is they made it some type of like a splint, right? Some type of splint. So what happens? V'chaisa, and the animal was healed. So I say, what do you see from there? You see from the dislocated thigh bone is not shenapia simin trefa, to which the Gemara says, Almai elamai istachal mimar toch yud beis chodeshava. Hachanami toch yud beis chodeshava. Rabbi said, to which the Gemara says, it's true. In the case of the trachea, the animal was healed. Rabbi said, it was healed for a little while. It still died within 12 months. So too in the case of the dislocated thigh bone, Rabbi said, although you healed it for a little while, ultimately what? It died as a result of the injury. So Rabbi said, this is actually an interesting idea. Remember again, we're going to get into this towards the bottom of the daf and into tomorrow's daf about a definition of a trefa. Clearly now the Gemara is utilizing a definition that the definition of a trefa is any animal which will die of its condition within 12 months. So that doesn't mean that there aren't things you can do to prolong the temporary lifespan of the animal. So for example, if the animal develops an iser size hole in its trachea, does the animal die immediately? No. You could patch that up, you could give the animal a couple of nice extra months of life, but the animal will not live out the year. That is a trefa injury. If the bird dislocates its thigh bone, can you go ahead and treat that injury? Sure, you can make it a little bird splint, right? And it won't die immediately, but it will not survive the year. So just because you could treat it for a little bit now in the present, it is still a simin trefa. Just the Gemara goes weiter. This is actually very interesting. Amru Alava Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta. This is actually an amazing Gemara. Amru Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta. Sha'askan bidvarim haya. It was say askan bidvarim haya was he was a curious individual who liked to try to figure things out. A curious person. Remember again in our Mishnah, if you remember again, one of the things that we discussed was that if a bird has its feathers removed, that does not make it a trefa. Rabbi Yehuda said if the notza feathers are removed. Remember again, what were the notza? Those are the smaller feathers that mamish protect the flesh itself. Rabbi Yehuda said, if those feathers are removed, the animal becomes a trefa. So what's Rabbi Shimon Chalafta was a curious kind of individual. So he wanted to do an experiment to show that Rabbi Yehuda was wrong. That even if the bird has its notes of feathers removed, the bird can still live. So what was his experiment? Listen to this. So he took a bird. Shenitla notes lasha. So also he took a bird whose feathers were removed. And what did he do with it? V'hinicha betanur. He put the bird in an oven. They both say, now understand, this is not like a, not to kill it, but rather again like a mildly heated oven. Right? I'm sorry? Oh, an incubator. No, an oven. Right? So again, that's not getting so fancy. Right? So again, so this is, no, you're gonna see why. This is not, no, I'll tell you why it's not. This is just a regular oven. So he just took a regular oven, he heated it up. He put the bird in there. V'nicha b'tanur. V'tala alel b'matlis shel tarsim. It's very interesting. And he wrapped it in the matlis shel tarsim. So I say, what's a matlis shel tarsim? Look at Rashi. V'tala alel b'matlis shel tarsim. Karach b'matlis shel tzarf ha'nechoshes. So we'll say, he wrapped it in like the smock that a copper worker wears. What's the smock of a copper worker? Rashi says, "Lekabel afuris shachi nechoshes v'shal orhi v'tomet hichama mitoch ovyal v'gam nechoshes mechamilos." Let's listen to this. So apparently, a copper worker, they would wear these thick leather smocks. So because of that, because of the thickness of the leather, the smock itself was always warm. Plus, remember, again, when you're working with copper, you're working in direct contact with the fire. So the thickness of the leather itself generates heat. The fire itself generates heat. Plus, there are copper specks that get on the smock that are heated up by the proximity to the fire as well. So he takes this little bird without its notes of feathers. He puts it in the oven. He wraps it in the copper worker's smock. And what happens? V'gidla k'nafayim ha'achronim yosem min ha'rishon. And Rabbi say, the bird regrew its feathers, all of its feathers, and its feathers were even thicker, meaning the second group of feathers were even thicker than the first. So we'll say, what's happening over here? So Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta, we're showing Rabbi Huda, you're wrong. You're wrong. You said that when a bird loses its notes of feathers, essentially it's a trefa. It's not going to regenerate. I'm showing you right now, you're absolutely wrong. Such a bird, again, you have to take care of it, but such a bird ultimately can regenerate. The Dilma Kassam Rabbi Huda, trefa mishabachas, most of that's very interesting. Maybe Rabbi Huda just in general holds that a treif, Rabbi Osei, could still get better before it dies. In other words, maybe that animal is still going to die. That bird is still going to die within 12 months. It's just possible that it could get better, meaning it could improve before it dies. To which the Gemara said, that doesn't make sense. I'll tell you why. Im kein, b'midi d'mitref ba higdila k'nafay ma'achroni yosem yosem. Does that make sense? Rabbi Osei, meaning the treif of the animal is its lack of feathers. Are you going to tell me now that ultimately, again, the very item that you say it becomes a trefa through can now come back even better than it was in the beginning? That doesn't make any sense. We'll say, therefore, it would appear that Rabbi Shimon Chalafta disproved Rabbi Huda's assertion. And even if the animal ultimately, again, loses its notes of feathers, which are the small feathers close to the flesh, that does not make the animal a trefa, for that does have the ability to properly regenerate. My askan v'dran, also when we say that Rabbi Shimon Chalafta was a curious individual, used to experiment with stuff, what does that mean? I suppose it's actually right quite amazing. Listen to this. So my askan v'dran, Arno Sharshi, Dichsiv. But listen to this. Dichsiv, Leich El Memala. So this is from Kohelet. Shlomo HaMelech says, Mishle, excuse me. Leich El Memala. Go and look at the ant. Atzal. Right, you lazy person. Go and look at its ways. And ultimately, again, become wise. For the ant has no ruler, has no king. So listen to this. So Shlomo Melech says, telling the lazy person, right, speaking to the lazy person, if you want to stop being lazy, look at the ant. The ant has no one in charge of it. The ant doesn't have a king. The ant doesn't have someone in charge of it, telling it to work. Yet, the ant is constantly preparing for the winter, constantly preparing for the summer. The mussar being, even if you don't have someone who's actively on top of you, telling you, work, you should still go ahead and motivate yourself to accomplish things. Learn this from the ant. So Shimon Chalafta was very curious about this. Amar Ezel Ichzi, Ivadeh Huda Lesluhu Malka. I'm curious to see if that's true. In the ant world, is there really no king? Right? In the ant world, is there really no king? Is there really no one in charge of the ants? So listen to what he did. Azel B'tkufas Tamus. So he went during the summertime. Parsi Ligline, Akina Dishum Shemani. He went and he held up his cloak in front of an anthill. So what's this? In other words, I guess the ants usually stay inside when it's very hot. He held up his cloak in front of the anthill to provide shade, to make it look like it was much cooler than it was. Nafak Asachad Minahu. One of the ants came out of the anthill. Asnach Be Simna. Shimon Chalafta made some type of simon on that ant, so that he would be able to discern that ant from the rest of them. Al Amar Aluhu Nafak Tula. So we'll say, so that ant went back in and apparently told the other ants, come on guys, everybody out, right? The shade is here, it's beautiful outside, come outside. So Nafku Va'asu. So a whole bunch of ants came out. Dalye Liglime. When the ants came out, Shimon Chalafta went ahead and took away the cloak. right? Nafal Shimsha, the sun came out, right? The blazing sun came out and hit the ants. Nafal Alei V'Kadlei, the rest of the ants attacked and killed the first ant, right? So they ganged up and they killed the first ant. Amar, Shimon Chalafta sees all of this. Shmamina Ales L'Malka. It's clear to me that the ants don't have a king. Why? Because we'll say if they had a king, presumably there's some type of like seder before you kill your own. In other words, if there was a king, there'd have to be some type of seder that the ants would have to go through before killing one of their own. The fact that they just ganged up on this ant and killed him indicates that there's no king of the ants. Amar Rav Acha Bar Yehuda Ravel Ravashi, V'dilma Malka Hava Ba'adayhu. Maybe the king was there. Right? Maybe the king was one of the ants who ganged up on the other. Einami harmana demalka havunikiti. Einami bin malka lamalka. Or maybe they were between kings. Dichsiv vayomim mahem ein melech b'yisrael. Because we know, again, Abba said, the way it works, ultimately, again, is in general, when you're between kings, anything goes. Right? As the Pasuk in Shoftim says, it was in those days, there was no melech. Ish ayashar be'inav yasa. And everyone did what they want. Ella, rather, Gemara says, Samuch Ahimanusa de Shlomo. Rather, Shimon Chalafta, don't try to figure things out on your own. Rather, rely on the wisdom of Shlomo HaMelech. If Shlomo says, learn from the ants, then learn from the ants. Shlomo HaMelech has the wisdom, passing that wisdom along to us. There's no need for you to corroborate Solomonic wisdom. Now, we'll say, now, all kidding aside, this sugi is actually quite interesting, because if you look at Tosis, Tosis says something quite dramatic. Ezel, look, it's the second last Tosis on the daf. Ezel va'achsi hechi isim milsa, afagav dechiai gavna, chashe v'amocher asina, melagle gabi ahutamid da'amar le Rabbi Yochanan, imlo ra'isi loha amanto, melagle al divrich ha'amimato. Shavuot said, listen to this. In general, there is this concept that when the Chachamim tell me something, Rabbo say, Emunas Chachamim means what? I believe it. And I don't need to independently corroborate it in order to believe that it's true. If Chazal tell me something, so part of my Emunas Chachamim is I believe it without independent corroboration. So how is it over here that Rav Shimon Chalafta feels the need to corroborate this piece of Solomonic wisdom? Isn't that a lack of emunas chachamim? Isn't that a lack of belief in the invalidity of Shlomo HaMelech's words? So why is Shimon Chalafta conducting this whole science experiment to see if Shlomo HaMelech is right? So Tosas gives an amazing answer. Tosas says, "Shaini hacha sheba levar hadavar ulodia ech yada Shlomo." So we'll say Tosas's answer is that halacha lemaisa, he wasn't doubting Shlomo HaMelech's word. He was trying to understand. Shlomo HaMelech didn't make stuff up. He came to understanding things by looking at nature. Rav Shimon Chalafta wanted to see what Shlomo HaMelech saw in order to be able to come to this conclusion. So he's not doing this in order to validate this piece of Solomonic wisdom. Rather, he's coming to understand things as Shlomo HaMelech did. I saw brought down about that the Imre Emes, the Ger Rebbe, has a different answer. The Ger Rebbe says, and this is actually quite amazing, I'm going to quote to you, he says, this case is different, why? Because what does Shlomo HaMelech say? Shlomo HaMelech said, Lech El Memala, Vahinu, Shehu Mitzvah Laleches Liros. The Imre Emes says, or Shimon Chalafta understood that the Pasuk says, Lech El Memala. We'll say, what does Lech El Memala mean? What does that mean? Go and see. Shlomo HaMelech is encouraging us, go and explore the natural world on your own. Go and see what I saw in the world so that you will come to the same level of understanding. And I will say, this is actually quite dramatic, because if you think about this from a hashkafic perspective, what this Gemara is teaching us, because I will say, what do I need this story for? What this Gemara is teaching us is something really incredible. And I will say, there's almost like this dialectic that exists within Yiddishkeit. There are things that we are just supposed to believe because they're beliefs, and there are things that we are supposed to go out and explore in order to understand. There are things that ultimately, again, I accept, perhaps because I can't really come to understand them on my own, so I accept them to be true. And then there's this lech idea. There are these things, go out and understand the world. Go out and understand yourself. Go out and understand how things work. This incredible dialectic, this incredible two-pronged approach to the cultivation of emunah. Things you have to accept as reality, and things you mamish have to try to understand using your intellect, using your neshama, to come to a comprehensive understanding. All right, good. Amrav Rav Hosea, let's begin the next sugya. Amrav Huna, Simon the Treifa, Yud Beis Chodesh. So we'll say now, it's interesting, now that we've spent so much time speaking about Treifa, we actually need a definition. What is the definition of a treifa? So Rav Huna says a treifa is an animal that cannot live for more than 12 months. That's a treifa. The Gemara says, Meisve, similar treifa, kol she'ino yoledes. So what's the Raisa says, a treifa is an animal which cannot give birth. Rav Shimon Gamliel Lomer, mishabeches v'holachas. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, even if the animal, quote-unquote, improves its condition, bi'adua shikshera. So I'm sorry, if the animal improves its condition, that's an indication that the animal is kosher. Bisnavna v'holachas, if the animal ultimately again declines, bi'adua shi treifa. Ultimately, again, I know that it's a treifa. Rebbe Omer, similar treifa shloshim yom. Rebbe says, Rebbe said, that's what? Treifa doesn't live for more than 30 days. Amrulo, v'halo harbe miskaimo shtayim v'shaloshanim. That's not true. We'll say there are a lot of animals that have simani treifas that live for 2 or 3 years. Tinahi, to Bosei, to which the Gemara says, ultimately, again, this entire discussion is a machlokis. Bosei, we'll stop over here for today. We're going to pick up a Mirah session tomorrow with a really very important sugya. What is the definition, ultimately, of treifa?